Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that was Duke Ellington take the A train on this day in 1943. He became it was the first time he played at Carnegie Hall. So look at the great Duke Ellington on this day. We're about to have a really different, interesting conversation because every time we have our conversations about what's happening on the continent of Africa, it's always about the political struggles, the economic struggles, about what's happening in South Sudan and more. But what we're doing today is taking a different twist, a twist of what the future may look like. We are joined today by two people who will be speaking at Busboys and Poets tonight, and Mariam Jam, who is a Senegalese-born British businesswoman who runs a technology consultancy business in London. She's CEO of Spot One, One Global Solutions. She's also voted one of Africa's top 25 women achievers by the Guardian newspaper. And Betty Kumahor, who is regional director for ThoughtWorks Pan-Africa. And ladies, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you. Betty is actually on air right now. She can't make it, but I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you are here. Glad someone could make it. That's good.
Yeah, she couldn't make it because of the snow. But she's coming. She's on her way now.
She's on her way to Washington.
She's on her way to Washington, yeah. D.C. for the evening event.
The snow has changed lots of things.
I know.
Well, so I was very interested in the things you've been writing about. Because it's... When we think of technology, when we think of the computer age, when we think of all these mobile systems and everything else, we do not think of the continent of Africa.
No.
You know, we never do. It's either the Arab world, it's Europe, it's Asia, it's America. But you're painting a story about how this is already transforming the lives of people on the ground.
Yeah, I think it has been transforming. I think Africa has, for the last 15 years, I was saying this to an event the other day in Atlanta. I've been writing about Africa and technology for 15 years. But 15 years ago, when I used to talk about this, people wouldn't listen. You know, they would just say, "Are you serious?" Because the media, the information they bombard us with is really Africa is poor, Africa is corrupt. You know, Africa there is war and DRC, women are raped. So those are the media. Those are the content you see when you are in the United States or when you're in London. But, you know, we wanted to change the narrative, so I started writing about, you know, what's really happening on the ground. And technology, because I'm a technologist and I'm an activist in tech, and it was time to tell people, you look at the different picture. You know, Africa today, we have around 90 tech hubs across Africa where you have the young entrepreneurs coding, decoding, they're writing mobile applications. You have women, you have 49 women tech network. Where women, you know, from Kibera to Madagascar, they all writing codes. You know, they setting up their businesses, their companies, despite you know having difficulties of internet and of electricity. But they're so determined to make it. I think it's time for us to change the narratives about Africa, because otherwise, you know, it's just it's the old story all the time, and that's not true. So that's why I want to tell the truth.
Talk a bit about every generation is given some kind of title, is given we call them millennials here in America, but what you talk about in one of the pieces you wrote about was about the cheetah generation.
Yeah.
But young people throughout nations in Africa.
Yeah.
Who are changing the nature of their nations.
Yeah. We have two types of cheetahs. We have the cheetah who are in the diaspora, who are highly skilled, intellectual. You know, they all have their MBAs, their PhDs. They spend a lot of years in the United States or in London or in other countries where, they accumulated a lot of knowledge and skills. And you also have the cheetahs who are in Africa who are really hungry because they've been waiting for their government to make some changes for so many years. They haven't done anything. So you get the World Bank and the United Nations, promising them things, and there's a funding, there's money going on in those countries. But at the same time, you got a lot of programs on youth unemployment, but those people are not seeing anything. Their lives are not changing that much. So then they become cheaters because they're very hungry, they're very angry also. They want to really make it because they can't wait anymore. So they, those cheaters, we mentor them, we support them. I've got a program called the Cheetah Accelerator where we mentor young guys. You know, they have businesses. We try to find them funding, networks, people to speak to. We connect them also to the cheetah. I'm talking about the diasporans who actually have money, but they don't know where to invest in the continent. They don't know how to go back home. They don't know, you know, they because they're so disconnected to what's happening on the ground. Then, you know, that's why I'm here today in Washington, D.C. I was in Atlanta to actually, you know, open the eyes for these people and tell them, you know, the continent needs us. You know, this is the time for us to go back, or this is the time for us to invest, or working with the cheetahs who are on the continent who needs our help, because you find out that they don't have the skills we have gained in the West. And if we go back and give it to them, then the continent will be in a better place.
One of the things that you wrote in one of the pieces you wrote, I think in one of your blogs, I found an interesting line, let's talk about it a bit. You said, as Chesley Rhodes recently wrote, we should not see African women as objects of compassion, microloan applicants, and demeaning factory job seekers.
Exactly, yeah. Because what you see is the West, the World Bank, that, you know, the United, I'm not afraid of mentioning them because they know me anyway. Those, you know, they know me, so I'm not biased here. So I'm going to just tell the truth. So those organizations, you know, they have a good willings. They really want to do well. You know, don't get me wrong, they want to do well in the continent. But at the same time, there's only one picture, and you know, they only, it's like, you know, if you don't look yourself in the mirror, you only see one picture. And the problem is, they only see the women as object of development. And I want to change that narrative and that mentality and that mindset. Tell them, no, you got African women millionaires in Nigeria. You got African women millionaires in Rwanda. You got African millionaires in Angola. You know, so why don't we talk about those African women rather than talk about African women in Liberia or African women in Malawi because they are president? You know, and those women, the African women president, they're actually not business women. Okay, they just been put there by the West. So we would like to talk about the African women who are actually making profit in the continent, and they're creating SMEs, small and medium enterprises. They're actually making money, but they don't have the right ecosystem to actually become more profitable. So we're not going to see the next Oprah in Senegal, for example, but we have some like starting people who are making a lot of money in Africa, but nobody talks about those women. And what you see the women on TV with like half-breast naked, and that's not reality. So my job is to go and tell people, go and talk to the people in Africa who actually are making money. Don't show us the pictures of those women, you know, because at the end of the day, that's not our problem. It's the government problem. So we need to change the government mentality to stop, to eradicate poverty. So those women will not be able to take the pictures and appear on TV. So I want to just change the narratives about what's happening in the continent and talk about the reality. That's what I want to talk about.
I had a feeling from this one line that you wrote that you were very passionate about that one issue. So
I'm absolutely
So I wanted to raise that one. The other one was that you talked about, though, that a lot of the most prominent women in Africa come from, who are children, daughters of the new African ruling class, and not from people who are working class on up. So there's a contradiction there, A and B. What do you see changing that? How is that changing?
Yeah, I think what I meant by that is that we have the African middle class. So there's Africa is growing. So I don't like the word Africa rising because that's not reality. So Africa, I will only say Africa is rising if there is a unanimity, you know, and if the GDP of probably 50% of the countries are, you know, have reached the two-digit GDP, then I will say that Africa is rising. But Africa is not rising. But Africa is definitely the place to invest today, and Africa is definitely is the place where you can go and interact with the human capital. And what I mean by those people is you have the African middle class, and it's not just the women, it's also the men, who are actually going back home, and their fathers and their mothers used to be the elites of Africa. They used to be the princesses, the king and the queens of Africa in the 1970s or in the 1960s. So I come from that generation. So my mom come from the generation of those people. But we have a choice either to stay in that system or we change the system. Because if we stay in that system as aristocrats and then we have all we need in Africa, you know, we have 4x4s, we have nice hotels, and we do deals with the West without thinking of our people, then in the next 10 years, the same problem will occur. So what I'm calling on the new generation of Africa who are at my age right now, who are 40, 45, Let's change Africa because our parents have made mistakes. Let's change that and let make deals that will actually make a contribution to the continent, because there's no point making a deal with a Chinese company or a Western or a Russian company. They will set up a hotel in Ghana, for example, probably employ 100 people. But at the end of the day, they'll be rich for 30 years because you're going to be selling them a lease for 30, 50 years. So just let's think about, let's change our mindset and our strategy of how we're dealing with these people, because we are now intellectuals. We don't have to rush after people. They should rush after us. So we need to, you know, that's the board. We need to change the game completely if we want to see a prosperous Africa and a fair and united Africa.
A couple of things before we have to move on in the 7 minutes or so we have left in this, Mariam. And one is, I found it really interesting when you talk about how the technology is being used today to transform the world in nations across the continent of Africa, in terms of how the mobile phone systems are giving people power to understand what's happening between villages and cities and how it's changing the nature of farming, how it's changing the nature of what people can see as their opportunity, that this technology, the accessible parts of this technology now, are already changing the nature of communication and the nature of people's lives.
Absolutely. I mean, this is why I wanted people to know that, you know, the there are so many opportunities in Africa, and we just can't sit down and look into the media and what they're telling us. Like, if you go to, you know, we have, like I said earlier, we have 92 tech hubs. The mobile penetration in Benin on its own is 85%. If you go to Nigeria, it's going at its 90s right now. 95% of the population have got mobile phone devices in their hands. So when you're creating content in the continent, you know that you're going to reach out to the mass. So you got African people creating mobile application. Like in Nigeria, for example, you got this guy who's created a budget. It's called budget. So he's like taking the government into account right now for them to understand that, you know, to have more transparency on the budget of the country. So it's an application developed by a Nigerian guy. So, but who knows those stories? And it's called Budget ET. It's fascinating. And it makes the Nigerian budget so simple. It simplifies the Nigerian budget. And every citizen now can go and find out what the MPs are getting. So that is combating corruption. And it's improving good governance and transparency. And this is African homegrown solution. So, and you've got women developing application on family planning issues, for example, because sex is a taboo, and we have so many cultural barriers in Africa. So women don't talk about those issues. So you've got women in Senegal, in Kenya, developing, and in Uganda, developing mobile application on your device to have all the information you need on your sexual planning. And you got Farmerline in Ghana. You got, I can name you so many mobile applications developed by Africans, local applications solving local solutions. So we need to talk about those. So my job, I will not stop talking until everybody hear me out.
Well,
I'm really sorry, but that's what I'm going to do.
That's good. Well, you can talk on this program anytime you'd like. So this is one of your forums.
Okay.
We literally have 2 minutes left and we have to break. And one very quick thing. I found it interesting that you kind of, even though you had issues with China's human rights record,
yes,
you were very clear that China's model for negotiating with African development is very different than the West and may win out in the end.
Yes, I mean, the thing is, we need to see, this is what I was saying earlier, we need to see China as one of our allies, and because the thing is, the relationship with China is what we make it. And the thing is, because Africans always wait for permission, we always wait for permission for people to come and do it for us. And we need to stop that mentality, because China has an interest in Africa as much as we have an interest in China. Because if we have Chinese people building our roads, you know, if you are a business person from Senegal traveling from Dakar to Kaolack, and your road trip is cut by 2 hours, that's thanks to the Chinese people investing there. But we need to also ask our government, what sort of deal did you have with Chinese people to come and build our roads? So that's the thing we need to ask for. That's where the mobile application on transparency, on corruption and good governance are coming on the place. Because my company is an enterprise software solution company. So we advise government to really use the right tools and the right solution across the continent. So, you know, they have the right IT system. Because when you have IT and technology, everything becomes transparent in the end, or 90% of it. So we need to see the Chinese relation as, you know, something that is good for Africa. They are changing the continent from Zimbabwe to Mozambique. If you go to today, you'll find out the roads are built up. You'll find out, you know, the hotel, the buildings are, infrastructure is getting better in certain countries, because that's we have a relationship with China, and we need to make the most of it, not be scared of it because the United States or the nations are jealous of it.
I encourage you all, if you can, to meet Mariam Jam this evening. She and Betty Kumahor will be speaking at tonight at the Busboys and Poets at 4251 Campbell Avenue in Arlington, Virginia, at 6 o'clock. at the ThoughtWorks Africa Cocktail Event. Gathering will also bring Institute of Policy Studies, Foreign Policy and Focus Partnership with a tech company that's progressive, pan-Africanist, social change agenda. So for more information, go to www.ips-dc.org. And we'll put that on our website, and you can meet both these women, have a fascinating conversation. So if you're in the D.C. area, for our listeners down there, please go and check this out. And, Mariam, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we look forward to meeting you, and I'm really intrigued by the work, and ThoughtWorks is one of my favorite companies, so have a great night.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. We're going to take a brief break, and we will come right back in a conversation with Allison Kilkenny, co-host of Citizen Radio, contributing reporter for The Nation, as we talk about Moral Mondays and more, the explosions in the South of the United States. Stay with us.